I'm Jim Benson, and you're listening to TV Time Machine on AM 1170, The Answer. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and visit our show archives at tvtimemachine.com. Today on the TV Time Machine, we welcome Michael Connelly, creator and executive producer of Bosch. Mr. Connelly is one of America's best-selling crime novelists and is author of over 28 books, including Bloodwork, The Drop, and The Lincoln Lawyer. Over the next segment, Michael Connelly will talk about Bosch, the hit series based on his iconic homicide detective, whose second season is now available on Amazon Prime Video. Again, for those of you intrepid enough to dig up a few clues, feel free to throw us a bone as we give our last rights to the past so we can read you your rights in the present. Michael, thank you for coming on board the TV Time Machine.
Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Now, as the author of the Bosch series of books and executive producer of the series, tell us what's happening this season. Is the LAPD still in Harry's rear view?
No, Harry comes back on the very first episode, first 5 minutes actually, from a 6-month suspension and reports back to work. And almost immediately gets involved in a couple separate cases that lead him in ways that we didn't explore last year in the first season. The first season was very much about setting who this character is and the aspects of his life and kind of establishing all that. And in the second season, we really concentrated on storytelling and big storytelling. And so we now have a story in the second season that runs across several themes that are very reflective of what's important and what's going on in today's society. You know, things like human trafficking, things like domestic terrorism. And so it's a bigger season, a bigger story this year. I'm pretty happy with it.
So what Bosch stories form the basis of this new season?
I'd say the spine is a book called Trunk Music, and then we also really take quite a bit of plotting from a book called The Drop, and then to a lesser degree, a book called The Last Coyote. So those are the big three. Last year we used three novels. Those are the three we're using this year.
Now, of course, Bosch is played by the remarkable Titus Welliver. Now, what was it about Titus that made you say to yourself, this is the guy?
Well, what happened was I had seen him. I mean, everyone's seen him. He's a well-traveled character actor, been in lots of stuff. And so I've been seeing him for years. But I happened to see him a few years ago as a guest star on a show where he played a guy with post-traumatic stress syndrome. And to play that, and he played it well on the show, you were seeing the what was going on inside in his eyes. He has a way of projecting the inner demons, the baggage, the damage. And that immediately drew me to him because with the Bosch character, in the books, you're inside his mind, and so you're kind of told that. You know his thoughts, and you kind of know what he's carrying inside, and we can't touch that kind of stuff in a television show. It's only about action, dialogue, and, you know, the face. And so that's really why I put his name right from the very first day of casting. I said, what about Titus Welliver? And eventually we got to sit down with him, and he, you know, it was an audition process. He read a part or acted out a part, and we talked to him. It was really the talk that was important. What do you think about this character? What do you think makes him tick? And Titus had all the right answers, and he got the job right there. And, you know, I don't think he technically looks a lot like the character as I describe him in the books, but I like to say he looks exactly like him on the inside because he can project that inner turmoil.
Right. In terms of that inner turmoil, if you were to do a psychological profile of Harry, what would it say?
I think it would say a lot of stuff. He'd probably go off the charts on a lot of things. But I think he's a guy who has been treated unfairly in his young life. You know, he was orphaned. He went from one damaged societal institution to another. You know, he was in county homes, orphanages. He was in the military. And then he was in the police department. And so I think what that has instilled in him is a consummate fairness. You know, he believes everybody counts in this world or nobody can count. And that's kind of his code that he lives by. And, you know, that's and he can use that to strike the match and light the fire on any case that he's faced with. It's what gives him, what makes him relentless. And, you know, he's a guy who is relentless, and that costs him at times. And so he kind of, whether consciously or subconsciously, kind of builds his life to be bulletproof so that nothing can get to him so he can carry out this mission. And so the results are good. He takes bad people off the streets, but what does that do to the person? You know, his job takes him into darkness all the time, and you'd be forced to think that some of that darkness doesn't get inside of him. You know, it's like right. almost like physics. You bounce a ball against the wall, the ball comes back to you. If you go into darkness, darkness is going to go into you, and then you got to figure out how to deal with it. And that's really what these stories are about, this guy trying to figure out what to do with what's inside him.
He also seems to have a keen sense of justice. He seems to know intuitively what is right.
Yeah, I mean, I think that comes out of that code. A keen sense of justice, to me, is being fair, you know, not that letting money or corruption or other things, you know, taint that process. And that's really, if you want to cross Harry Bosch, that's where that will happen. As you say, he definitely is a warrior for justice.
So he's also a pretty low-tech analog guy, it strikes me, turntable, flip phone. Do you share that in common with him?
No, I don't, actually. I really like to take harness all kinds of technology in my life. But I think it's interesting to see a guy who slowly comes to it. And I think it comes out of this stuff we're talking about here, the psychology of him, that he would look at any advancement in technology and not really jump on it right away, because anything that is discovered or invented or developed to better our lives, there's always going to be someone out there who's going to figure out how to use it against us, you know, name anything. And there's people out there working against us with that same technology. And so I think that's where his eye goes to that, like where are they going to come from? And maybe it's cynical, but maybe it's realistic. And so that has put him on this, as you say, an analog guy, a guy who's slow to adapt to things. And luckily, he has a teenage daughter in his life, and which I do myself. And so there's no way you can be stuck in analog times when you have a child who's on the forefront of using technology.
He also has a great house. Tell us about Harry's house. It really seems like the ultimate man cave.
Cave is probably the right way. It's got an amazing, amazing view of the city, but it realistically is a shack on stilts, just clinging to the edge of the mountain. And it's kind of, that's a metaphor, you know. Harry kind of clings to what he's got in life, and so does his house. It's beyond the means of a police detective, that's for sure.
Right.
And so we have created, in the books I created, and then we carried that into the show, reasons that he is able to afford something with that kind of view, even though the house itself is kind of crumbling. I would be like him. I'd take any kind of shack to have that kind of view, as they say in Los Angeles, airliner views of the city.
Now, of course, one thing that we haven't seen a whole lot of lately on the small screen is the character cop. You know, back in the 70s, you had Columbo, Cannon, Kojak. Do you see Bosch bringing a little bit of that genre back?
Yeah, I hope so, and I think so. You know, just the idea that this is a serialized story and it's not like Murder of the Week, and that by telling a story over 10 episodes in close to 10 hours, it probably adds up to about 8 hours, you know, we have breathing room and we can get in character. You know, I'm a great fan of the writer Joseph Wambau, and he always said that the best cop stories are not how they work on their cases, it's how their cases work on them. And that what that translates to is that it's about character. And we always have that in mind as we're... I always have it in mind when I'm writing these books, and the writing staff of the show, Bosch, we talk about that all the time. So I think that's what we're endeavoring to do. If it's a throwback to those kind of shows from the 70s, that's fine with me. I think the show actually has a bit of a look that is like kind of neo-noir 70s grit to it.
So this season, what can viewers expect to experience when they log on to Amazon to watch Bosch?
I think they'll see a bigger show than they did in the first season. In the first season, we were kind of consumed with Harry Bosch. delivering this character, letting the viewer know whether they came because they knew the books or they knew nothing about him, but establishing who he is and how he operates and what to expect from him. Because we knew instinctively, it's the same with books, that people are going to grab onto this show because of the character. It's not going to be because of the plotting. It'll be like, do I want to ride with this guy through 10 episodes? And so that was really consumed us in the first season. And it's very important in the second season, and it's continuing in the second season. But at the same time, we kind of had it could take a step back and take a deep breath and say, okay, we've got Harry Bosch. We got a great actor. We've established the bounds of his character in the first season. What do we want to do? And we wanted to expand our storytelling, make a bigger story. And so we are now in season two, have a story where start small, which is often the protocol in my books. So in that case, it seems to be cut and dried and maybe not that big, expands or hooks up into something bigger. And then, and we have that going in season two, where you know, a single killing in the first few minutes of the first episode expands into a story that that cuts across human trafficking. It cuts across domestic terrorism and many of the things that are important to people in today's society.
That sounds great. It's a great show, great character. Michael, it's been a tremendous pleasure having you aboard the TV Time Machine. Feel free to join us again in the future or in the past.
Thanks a lot.
I was born Mary Tyler Moore.
It's Jesse Donald Knotts.
Fred McFeely Rogers.
Leslie Moonves.
Isabel Sanford.
Leslie Renee Stahl.
Robert Edward Turner.
Regis Francis Philbin.
Aaron Spelling.
Since 1999, the Archive of American Television has been preserving the memories, knowledge, and insights of the men and women whose talents and vision have helped shape this remarkable medium. Over 500 video interviews with these TV legends are now available on the Archive of American Television website at metvlegends.org. There, you can sign up to receive news, updates, and also become a sponsor to help preserve television history for generations to come. That's metvlegends.org.
The mythological proportions of Star Trek provide something that's missing in people's consciousness, psyche.
The Archive of American Television. Capturing television history, one voice at a time.